few people in the agency can believe that the female-headed household exists. They don't see it. So therefore, they aren't doing anything. And so I gave a small grant to a group who are doing a literature search on the female-headed household, what's been done, what needs to be done. And I'm going to go with some statistics to some of these men in the agency and say, you don't believe it? Well, look, here are the figures, and even these figures are low. Then I hope the next step is that the agencies, or the bureaus of the agency that usually do statistical research, will put out a big grant for a big study of the female-headed household to convince some more people, and then maybe have some impact on the programming in these countries on the basis of the fact that they've got a lot of women who are solely responsible for themselves and children, and that the society has to do something about it. Well, let me... Well, we put out materials. There are some here. We put up exhibits, and I hope you will walk past the exhibit down the hall a ways, because we're very pleased and proud of it. I think, well, it's a picture exhibit. It's very striking, and we're pleased that a very good and famous photographer donated her pictures for it. With that, I think, let me stop and really lead a discussion, because I always figure I learn a lot more, and you get what you want if you ask questions. Otherwise, you get what I tell you.
I'm Anna Atkins from Oklahoma, and I have done a very small amount of traveling overseas, sometimes on my own and sometimes as part of an official delegation. And I always am looking in the especially third world countries, Africa, Middle East, and Asia, for the role of women and looking at how they articulate. And I have had a great deal of difficulty with our State Department in finding access to women in those local situations. And I think part of it is because in many of those cases, there are no women on station as part of our official aid people or Department of State. I'm wondering if part of your function would be to recruit women into that
That process. The answer to that is that our office used to be part of the Equal Employment Opportunity Office. We've been separated, and that's supposed to be the function of the Equal Employment Opportunity Office, but we give them a little help periodically. And I am pleased that we're beginning. We have our first mission director who is female. Is also recruiting more women interns. State and the foreign policy establishment has been one of those that's been pretty closed. Michaela? I think we also have a response here, but I'll try mine first and then yours. The question is how that I made the distinction between learning and literacy and learning and education. And I may have made the distinction between learning and education before you came in. And how do you get from one to the other? I think, is that fair? There's a little subtlety in there beyond that, but I take again a sort of two-track approach. With girls, I think literacy comes number one. With adult women, I think learning comes number one. At least in terms of our office, because I look at what's possible and what's desirable long-term, or in the time frame. And I just figured to give up and assign little girls to not educate them is kind of writing them off, and I can't do that. But for adult women, you don't have time to stop for literacy, because they need to learn lots of things. They're already coping. I mean, because they're existing, they're coping somewhat. So that it's much more important to give them new tools, more knowledge and information. And so then if some of them want to go on to literacy, and you, if you're really motivated, you can make giant steps there. Okay. But that's, in other words, I've sort of reversed the two in terms of age groups. And you had a comment, yeah. Maybe if you turn around or half sideways, people can hear. I don't know. Yeah.
What Mrs. Fraser has been describing is exactly the situation. You have women who come to you, and I think the first phase of your program is to speak with them and say, you know, what are you feeling? What are you thinking about yourself? And, you know, how do you see? What do you want? What do you want us to do? And the things that come up are, we want to know how to read. But we want to know the skills to raise the economic level of the family, which means, you know, better ways of cooking, the food they have available, you know, a better balanced diet with what they have, not necessarily introducing a Colorado man to me, and then child care, you know, health, where does the dentist come from?
Oh, yeah.
But it was a church area.
It was church and government.
That's a good point, the government. Our aid is given government to government for the most part, and that is also important to understand. You had a question or a comment?
I'm Bonnie Sarna from Sarasota, and I have to have the opportunity to go on July 26th to the Women in Development meeting at the State Department. And I had never done this, and I was in awe, and you know, I sat there, there were about 25 people, about six on the panel. And they were talking about the voluntary fund for the international decade, et cetera, et cetera. You mentioned about the older woman. is this the kind of thing that you are thinking of as far as sharing with other countries? And how, do you have anything to do with the home theme on displaced homemakers? You're strictly for women development abroad.
Well, if you're talking about what I get paid for and what I do, they're two different things. I come out of the U.S. women's movement, and I think that there are, I guess the best way I can put it, the problems are all the same, basically, but the dimensions are, well, just hard to comprehend. Well, just think, if you were living, trying to live with a family on $50 a year and were illiterate, I mean, that'd be pretty rough. And you had to work hard to get the $50. That's one problem, but it's an economic problem. And one of your problems might be your access to land in order to raise, say, the cash crops that earned you the $50, so that legal rights get involved there. That's a very shorthand version of something. There is a danger both There is a danger in trying to take our experience to other countries. There's also a danger in thinking they're a great deal different from us, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Got it. No, I agree with that. there's one dimension worse than saying, let us help you, and that is saying, what's good for you? Saying, here I am, I'll tell you. Again, it's a question of balance. Yes, in the yellow T-shirt.
I was just wondering whether, you're talking about education of other women, whether that includes political kind of education.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can't get directly involved in other countries' politics, but the World Plan does talk about political participation. However, in many countries, they're ahead of us in political participation, especially in terms of voting. And in many countries, as you probably know, you don't have to read to vote. Even in this country, you don't. But in some other countries, it's easier. There are symbols. But yes, education for civic participation is the way it says in the World Plan, and education or information, let's use the word information instead of education, information about legal rights is a project that we are getting into, we both, the Women in Development Office and the agency, very interestingly, as a part of human rights. And again, it's a question of dimension. And again, it's exactly the same problem we have here. People may not know what their rights are until it's too late, or may not have any access to help on legal problems. We have a couple of projects in Latin America, I guess they're essentially legal aid. Somebody came and talked to us about studying the legal constraints, and from our point of view, Women in Development Office, the legal constraints on women that have an impact on the development process. And I learned this at Mexico City, and for those of you who've heard it before, I'm sorry to bore you, but this explains it best, at least for me. Somebody said, well, what do legal rights have to do with eating or, you know, having bread on the table? And I alluded to this a little before. The problem is that we, the developers, came in, and the Ethiopian woman got up and said, I think it was Ethiopian, said they may have everything to do with whether a child in a certain family eats. Because when we go in, we, in the broad sense, with land reform schemes, and we don't look at the legal system, we may take the land out of tribal or communal ownership, give it to individual ownership, and by law, women can't hold title to land. And so therefore, when they are widowed, they're driven off the land and can't feed the kids. Well, not, maybe, I'll say yes and no. Some do, some don't. Some men do, some don't. And that's why I feel very strongly about information and having information available in ways and forms in which it's useful. Yes.
All this sounds very good, but practically in a nation like Yemen, now not only the political and the social, but the religious barriers, they are so stringent. How do you get in there and do something with a female that's trained to be very subservient, even less valuable than animals, without starting international that I'm sure Carter, could not withstand. On a national basis, we could not stand this kind of thing. So how can you get in and help? And that's always very
well. Yemen is very interesting. Yemen is a place where, at least until recently, and maybe still, only about one girl out of 100 ever goes to school. Except Yemen has changed radically in the last couple of years, and it just throws all those religious, or a lot of those religious constraints out the window, because 50% at least of the men in Yemen are now working in the Saudi oil fields, and the women are left home to do what the men used to do. In addition to that, we now have a deputy director of AID who is a woman in Yemen. Yemen is going to do all kinds of things in the next month and 10 years that nobody ever predicted it would be able to do in 100 years, just simply because we drive so many cars and need oil.
Go to South Africa now, okay? I'm sure the women
We won't go to South Africa because it's not an aided country. And the South African woman, however, who was here at our seminar, made the point that we shouldn't forget the poor woman in any country because they're bad off in all countries.
Could we speak to that, Italian? I don't want to speak twice, but I was just concerned me.
You don't want to? Well.
about devising some mechanism for those countries on which we do not have cordial relations with, you know. And there are women over there with problems, and when we do meet with them on a person-to-person basis, they say, we know our governments are not friendly, but why can't we be friends? And it's very frustrating to visit and come back and exchange on an individual basis, but how can we set up some mechanism to bypass the governmental constraints and really establish some working relationships? Because to me, that's the basis.
That's where and that's where the private organizations come in.
My name is Marion Card.
Let's stand up.
I have been connected with voluntary organizations since I retired from government. I urge you, anybody who's thinking of retirement, to be looking for the right voluntary organization. It's the most gratifying and satisfying way to spend your time. I think that one of the great experiences that I have had is in working with the non-government organizations in the United Nations Environment Program. When Bruce Gates Colby and I have been a number of times to the meetings in Nairobi, we have been tremendously impressed with the women, the leadership of women in all kinds of local, national organizations. I wish that our government could give more assistance to the voluntary organizations which can meet with such women in appropriate ways in other parts of the world. I believe that this would be a great thing to accomplish the sort of thing in which you're interested. The only flaw we find is we just can't respond enough, effectively enough, to the female leadership, the women's leadership that we encounter in these countries. Now, I just like to add, if I may, that in this mixed career that I've had, I have become tremendously impressed by the importance of the women's movement, and I hope you will all feel encouraged and satisfied with what has been accomplished to the extent of renewing all your dedication to carrying it on in the future. I think the very fact that we have instinctive workers, like Mrs. Fraser, in the particular job that she has in AIC, is really directly the result of the women's movement.
Oh, that's right.
Acting through the United Nations and the United States Congress, and finally penetrating AID. I have known AID for a long time. And I want just to add, I live in a country where I took touch with a lot of women living in a transitional situation.
Tell which one it was.
They have between a very primitive life and a modernized life. This was in Libya. I lived for 6 years in a rather remote center in Bolivia. And I want to comment on your remarks. Political education, depending upon leadership, is one of the learning processes that you speak Canada, which does not require this, and it is a highly important learning process and a tremendous influence in the advancement of the women in any country. People can vote in Bolivia. The revolution gave everybody the right to vote without considering ethnicity. And the system is helped to get a different colored piece of paper to represent the party of your choice. So that's the easy proof. I agree with you wholeheartedly as to the vital importance of literacy for girls. I was so touched by my Indian friends in Bolivia when they, the mothers in these poor villages, made the sacrifice to let their children go to school, the girls as well as the boys, because they took on the chores the children used to help. When I went to visit the school, the part of my speech was always to thank my mom for that lovely effort, and to take the mothers the bags of candy that other people took.
So, thank you.
I was going to ask,
yeah,
the information program of which you're speaking needs more coordination.
All right.
And more realism. We have agencies throughout the government putting out informational material that should be more appropriate to their purpose.
Thank you very much. I am supposed to conclude this. If there are a couple more questions, I'd be glad to take them. I should say that the priorities that I've set for our office are education, the female-headed household, food and agriculture, but essentially agriculture, women's organizations, and legal rights. Yes, I'll take one last question and then, yeah.